be so heartless. Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interviews. Today we have a really exciting film named Rilo. We have the director, Mike Garcia. And he doesn't even know how much I like the music in this film, and I can't wait to discuss it. So, Mike, welcome to the show. Tell me about your film, Rilo, stand-up comedy?
Hey, yeah, it's a film that I wrote. I think I started writing, maybe about October 2015. And it was for my friend Alexis Prigo, who's the star of it and who in the film plays Rilo. And she is actually an LA-based stand-up comedian. And some of it's based on her dating life. Some of it's just based on me. And, started out as a short film. It was supposed to be part of an anthology film with three other LA filmmakers. And that fell through while we were actually filming my segment. And at that time, I said, you know what? I'm going to make it a feature film. And said, hey, I'll write an extra 25 pages and made it a feature film. And, finished filming, I think, April 2017.
Okay, I have a couple quick questions.
Yeah.
Now, you have a stand-up comedy shot, a two-camera shot right off the beginning.
Yes.
Now, is that her normal stand-up routine, or did you write the stand-up routine?
No, yeah, that's her routine. She, that was just one of her shows that we went to, and we actually filmed that on an iPhone, on iPhones. And nothing special. We didn't use any kind of apps. We just were like, hey, we'll just go film it with our iPhones, and... Yeah, worked out that it didn't look too bad.
It didn't look bad at all. I mean, it looked like you were filming it from two different angles. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to ask.
I just had my other friend come, and he had an iPhone too, so we just, that was it. Just he was on one side, I was on the other, and we caught her. It was probably like a five-minute set, maybe 7 minutes, and then I cut it down to, whatever it's at, probably like at 3-4 minutes.
This may be a hard question for her. How long has she been doing stand-up for? Because I liked her set, but she seemed to be not confident on stage.
Right. She's still pretty beginning. I think, maybe at that time she'd been doing it maybe a year and a half at the most.
Okay. Because the timing's not there yet. She doesn't have that timing down.
Right. I think she'd probably maybe even look at that and go, yeah, I might not be at my best right at that moment. But I think, it even may suit the character because the character isn't even necessarily, comfortable with doing it or maybe with the rejection of doing stand-up. Since at the next day her boyfriend's like, yeah, I don't really dig your stand-up, and it kind of screws with her head. So
her stand-up was good. You've gave me the idea. Now, why did you go from color to black and white?
The color and the black and white thing. Originally, the anthology films were supposed to all be filmed in black and white, and with just one scene in color. And everyone else had their reasons for filming in color, but that was our one thing with the anthology was, hey, let's have one scene in color, and, it doesn't have to be for anything special, but let's have one scene. But for me, it was always about the stand-up in her. While doing stand-up, that was the most important thing that she's doing. That's her happiness. And so when she quits doing it or she blames it on, like, oh, I lost this boyfriend and now my life sucks, and she stops doing stand-up, her life's black and white now. Her life isn't in focus, I guess, so to speak. And so that's why when she does stand up later in the film again, and at the end of the film when it's in color, it's just her being happy or her accepting certain things in life.
I do have a note here early on in the film. You had some background noise issue. Did you notice the background noise, or was that intentional?
Where was that at? There might be. You could be right on that.
I think it's in an apartment scene because I have it where it was shot. I was going to ask that. But I have background noise options, and then you have a guitar playing. So it must be before you have your first inlay of music.
Oh, wow. That might just even just be something that I have to go back and look at.
Okay, because it was really, I found it hard to hear the dialogue at that point. So I was just wondering if that was intentional or not intentional.
Okay, yeah, no, I might have to go back and look at that.
I apologize for that.
Oh, no, hey, thank you for noticing.
Well, I just make notes. Now, where did you find your music?
That is actually a big find. That was Salvador Santana, who is actually Carlos Santana's son. Carlos Santana, the famous guitar player. That's his son, and we got hooked up because I had shot some music videos for his manager, his music manager, and we intersected at some point. It was like, you shot these videos for me, and I'm going to have Salvador do the music for your film. And that was really, that's how quick it came together. It was just, hey, let's do some music and film, and that was it.
Because that music is amazing.
You know, other people have said that, and I try to be really objective about it and not, like, say, hey, watch my movie because, you know, Santana's son does the music. But honestly, you're not the first person to go, hey, the music, I really dig it. So
that's awesome to hear. If you need to promote your music, just watch a lot of short film. I watch a lot of indie film. This is beyond the best soundtrack I've ever heard.
Wow. That's awesome.
It must be you knowing where to put the music in because it all worked for me, and I liked every track I heard.
Wow. Yeah. We had worked pretty closely together, with the music. He would work on some, and then I would go into a studio and go, oh, this is what I was thinking for that. And there was a couple times where I'd go, no, I'm not really digging that. And then I'd come back like a month later and he would have something else. And I would say, okay, that's it. Or I would say, you know what I'm thinking for this scene is this type of music. And then he would kind of, try to emulate what I was feeling.
Well, you had a great sense of feeling, like phenomenal job on your part.
Wow, great. Thank you.
It really blew me away. I was like, is there a soundtrack I can buy for this? Because this is good.
Wow, that's awesome. I
was quite impressed. You have in the apartment scene when she's talking with her boyfriend, or it could be her friend, there's a bunch of guitars, really nice-looking guitars.
Yeah.
Whose are they?
I filmed that actually at my parents' house, and that was my brother's old room, and he just had those in there. And it's weird because I don't know if I forgot they were there, but then if I did forget they were there, it made sense because, her boyfriend says, oh, hey, my band, he mentions his band. So I thought, oh yeah, it works because they're sitting in the background. But yeah, that was just my parents' house, my brother's old bedroom and yeah, that was it.
It worked perfectly. You had a parking ticket.
Yes.
On the thing.
That was an actual parking ticket. That was my parking ticket from L.A. at some point. And I just had it in my car, and I said, okay, I actually wrote that scene because in L.A., it's people getting parking tickets is a big thing. You never know where to park there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's you can look at parking signs and always go, I think I'm good. And they come back with a parking ticket on your car. It's crazy.
See, these are things. I've made all these notes. I told you. I'm desperate. Now,
that's why when I listen to your other podcast, I'm like, he watches these. Like, he's got good notes. He's asking filmmakers good questions.
Well, I like to ask you questions because I could ask really boring questions, but that's no fun for anybody.
Right. No, that's why I did it. You had good questions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. When you go back to the apartment, you have different music. I found you definitely changed the style of the film at that point.
Back to when it's just Rilo and her roommate.
There, yes.
That was another thing where I think Salvador just came in with this like somber music, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess that works. And it seemed like very Lifetime Hallmark type music. But and you know, his, I don't want to say in his defense, but in the way he was thinking, he's like, yeah, we just add it in there. And if you don't like it, and if you play it for people and they don't like it, just take it out. And I think people like, they generally, like you said, mention the music and just go, dude, the music works. So
I think the problem, is the music blows me away. It is so strong.
Wow.
Like, I mean, Rilo is, I have no issue with the acting. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the acting, but the music is just something we've never heard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's just like, what is the sound?
It has a little bit of a Latin flavor to it.
Yeah, it's lovely. Now, let's, before I go any further, I want to discuss Rilo. You say you have a, she's a friend of yours?
Yeah, Alexis Perigo, I met her at the Coachella Music Festival. And she was a friend of my brother's, for some reason, who I had never met, even though, you know, he's my brother. I just had never met her before. And we had all gone to Coachella together. And at the time when I met her, I hadn't made my first feature film yet. And she was like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm an actress. So I'm like, okay, cool. Come in to audition for, you know, And the Past Received, my previous feature film. And she wasn't right for the lead role, but then I wrote her a role as the, you know, lead female's act, roommate. She was the roommate in that first feature film.
Okay.
And so when it came time to do this short, or, you know, into a feature, I don't know why I just said, oh, I know who I'm going to write it for, and it was her. And I told her, you know, what the story was. And then, you know, I came back a few months later, had the short film version of it. And then, you know, we were filming probably 8 months later. So, yeah.
Yeah. What about the rest of your cast? Where did you find them?
And that was actually just talking to a couple other people about that last night. It was everyone in the film I think I knew previous except the roommate. And she was a friend of my brother's girlfriend at the time. And she had Karen Hardison, who plays the roommate. My brother's girlfriend texted me one night. She's like, hey, I want you to watch Karen's reel. It's really good. So I watched it. I was like, wow, this girl is great. And I was writing the Rilo at the time, and I just went, you know what, she's roommate. And that was it. I just said, boom, I'm writing it for her. And I think probably like a month or two later, I had contacted Karen. I'd gotten her phone number and just said, hey, I'm writing this role for you. Sent her the script. She read it. She's like, I love it. I'll do it. And that was it. Yeah, and all the other actors, I just knew they were either friends who were actors, and I wrote their roles specifically for them. So it was a little bit easier to work with their dialogue, knowing the way they already speak and act and stuff like that. So, yeah, pretty much everyone in there, I knew already.
Okay. My other question is, where did you decide your locations, or how did you get them?
They were all, the girls' apartment is actually my condo.
Ah, there we go. These are the things I like to know.
Yeah, yeah. That's my condo. And let's see.
You have a school?
The school, we were actually supposed to film in a office building. And I think it was 1 week before, one of my producers was like, okay, I got you an office building. We can film there. And then for some reason, he went out of the town the Saturday. He was going to be out of town the Saturday we were going to film. But he had to be there on set with us, or the guy wouldn't let us film there. And so I was like, wait a second, you set this whole thing up, but we can't film there. And he's like, can you reschedule? I was like, no, we have to film this weekend. And so I called up this friend of mine who's a teacher. And I said, listen, I need a big favor. Can I film in one of your classrooms? And so Rilo's character went from, you know, working corporate to being a school teacher. You know, I just rewrote the part, you know, in a week and said, okay, she's a school teacher now. And I actually like it better that she's a school teacher, not working corporate.
Now, who's the friend that keeps visiting her in the school? Like, is that another fellow teacher? Like, she just randomly shows up.
Right, that's Rosemary Guest, who the actress is who plays Vivian. Yeah, she's another teacher.
Okay, that wasn't presented to me. I was kind of like, who is this?
Okay, yeah, she's just another teacher and maybe not a friend outside of teaching, but one of those school friends or work friends that, you know, you talk to.
Okay, she goes to a random party at the apartment, right?
Oh, yeah, later when she goes to that party, yeah. It's not random. It's actually the going away party for Everett, who was, you know, in the earlier, he was there earlier, like 1 year later.
Yeah, okay. She didn't want to be there. Why is she going out? Like, I really got the impression she didn't want to go.
Right, she was just going to meet up with her roommate and not thinking too much about anything else. It was just like, yeah, okay, I didn't go to my reunion. I'm just going to go to the party.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange because I understand she's trying to find herself. I'm like, I think she should have gone to the reunion. I think she would have been happier.
Yeah, that's a lot of people have reservations about going, and then I think it actually turns out better than what they think it is.
She may have. Yeah, because you don't really know. Oh, I got to back up. You did have random shots with music at one point. I don't mean to be rude. I didn't understand the representation of that.
Which scenes are those?
It's just shots. It's beautiful music, and you just got, like, shots of L.A.
Oh, okay. Those are probably just establishing shots that, you know.
That's why I wasn't sure. I'm like, okay, maybe they're establishing shots, but I was just trying to confuse. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was just establishing shots of L.A., you know, Silver Lake.
Yes, yeah.
They were at. So, yeah, it was just trying to convey where they were at, if anything.
Okay, I apologize. I like to ask questions. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Now, I do think the time jump works perfectly. I think you need it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I think we need some resolve for this character.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I do like that time jump because I don't think she could have solved herself in 20 minutes.
No, and you know, that was a conscious decision to make because when I started writing it as a feature, I thought, oh, okay, maybe it will be just a whole day in the life of Rilo. And like you just said, I don't think it would have worked if she would have figured out her whole life in that one day. So, yeah, I did. It was a conscious effort to write it as the beginning of the film a year previous, and then, you know, it jumps a whole year ahead.
Yeah, I think that was great. I love that idea. Now, I do have a question. This may be a personal writing on yours. What's wrong with Orange County? I made that note.
Not much. Orange County is perfectly nice, and I grew up in the Redondo Beach area, but my parents got divorced and I moved with my mom and my stepdad to Orange County. And whereas I like Orange County, I just wouldn't necessarily want to live there, and I don't live there now. And so, and I think anytime when I reference Orange County, it's derogatory. And probably a little bit more so than it deserves, but yeah, I always reference it in a derogatory way.
Okay, no problem. I was just wondering, I might think.
Yeah.
I liked the scene when they were all together discussing their life. I thought that really worked for the film.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how they're all discussing what happened and this and that. I just thought that was funny. And she makes a comment, 27 dresses. I don't want to be Katherine Heigl. It's not that bad a film.
Well, that's what Alexa said. When she read that part, I think we were rehearsing or at least on set that day, she's like, hey, man, that movie's not that bad. I'm like, I hadn't even seen it, actually. It was just...
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Because I made that note. I'm like, it's not that bad. Where have you taken this film, I guess, is my next question.
Well, we just... We just started festival submissions the last week of December. And so what is it now? 2 weeks into
January.
January 2018. Yeah, so we just submitted our first to Newport Beach Film Festival 2 weeks ago, and just looking to do more submissions in the next month. And
now, when you get accepted, are you going to go to Newport Beach and go talk about the film, I hope?
Yeah, that's one thing I would really love to do, is to get into any festivals really with this film.
I think you have a chance. I think you'll be fine.
Thanks. Thank you.
Like, I mean, I know you can hate me harping on the music, but just that opening thing is going to hook somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. No, I mean, that's good to know, because I might have to go back in and just tweak that really quick and, submit that version of it instead of the version that I have. So.
Well, no, it's all good. And then you fade back to color for the end.
Yeah.
And you filmed a different set of hers. I noticed the comedy had changed. You fade back to the color and do her last set of comedy, stand-up comedy. She does a different set.
Yeah, it's a different set. And thankfully, it is... I think I liked it that it was a different set and not exactly her same set from the beginning. But yeah, it was a different set. And that was actually filmed before we filmed that one at the beginning.
Ah.
Yeah, because we had filmed that set, I think, probably August of 2016. And then we filmed that opening scene, I think, February of 17.
I thought she looked different.
Yeah.
And I thought that worked with the 1 year advance. I'm like, okay, they obviously got two sets, and she doesn't look the same, which I thought worked really well for me.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like that. What were some of your challenges with filming? I mean, it sounds like you had no problems finding your locations. You had no problems following your actors.
I would have to say I didn't have any real challenges with this film. It was such a pleasant film to make. And I guess the biggest thing is that really it was just me, a camera, sometimes a sound guy. But a lot of it was just me, a camera, and Alexis, and I was running sound. I was the camera op. It was kind of by choice that I did those things. I wanted to see if I could do it on my own, and I wanted to prove to other filmmakers that you don't need a 5-man crew. You don't need a 4-man crew. If you really, really want to make a film, you will do it. You will find out a way to do that.
I think that's awesome. What led you to filmmaking?
I would say that it was one of those things where my father really, really loved film, and he would take us to, the theater when we were young, and we would discuss films and to that point of after a while, you're just like, I think I want to make a film. I think I love film enough to want to make film, and that's really it. It was just, I love films. So I love it enough to want to make it.
I guess this might be a strange question since you're such a call crew. Did Alexis get any food or anything? I love catering. It's my favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah. We always had, a little bit of food. We had something. See, that's the other thing of the style that we filmed, is that we didn't do 8-hour days. We didn't even do, I think the longest day we did was maybe 5 hours. There would be some days where we would film 1 hour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in total, I think we did 18 or maybe 22 days. I can't remember. 22 days of filming. And like I said, they weren't full days. They were just, hey, we need to get this shot of you driving. Hey, we need to get this shot of you doing that with this person. And that was it. It wasn't, laborious filming. So.
Yeah, you were right beside her for the driving scene. I did notice that from the way you filmed it. I'm like, he's right there.
Yeah, I was in the front seat.
I figured as much. I'm like, there's somebody there, because I'm like, there's no way he has a car here, because it's the way it was filmed. I'm like, okay, I got that. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
So that's it. I really have nothing else to talk about your movie unless I've missed something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you don't have any more questions.
But I have fun questions now.
Oh, fun, the fun questions. All right.
You've said you've heard the interview, so you know what the fun questions are.
Actually, I didn't get to the end of them. I stopped before the end of them.
Uh-oh. So now you're going in blind. That's your fault. Favorite film?
Favorite film. Okay, so I always say Blowout, because Blowout is my favorite film, and that's actually by Brian De Palma.
I know. I've seen it. It's a great film.
Yeah, that is the film that when I watched as a kid, I went, wow, there is filmmaking going on.
Okay.
I would watch that and go, I don't know. It's different from every other film when I was growing up, because I would sit there and go, this guy's like making film. He's like doing something different. It wasn't just a normal film. And it's probably not a normal film for like a 11-year-old to watch. But.
No, I got a question though, but that guy's a sound editor.
Yeah, he is.
And you have great sound in your film. So is that a parallel I just discovered?
No. No.
That's awesome. Okay, it's Friday night. You have people at your house. It could be your buddies. It could be your girlfriend, whatever. What film are you putting on for them?
Oh. You know, I would say Zodiac by David Fincher.
Wow, man. We're going heavy. You want them to stay for a while. You better have snacks.
Yeah, that's a weird one, too, because, you know, if I hang out with girls and they're like, oh, what's like one of your favorite movies that you just like to watch? And I say Zodiac, I always have to preface it by saying, yeah, like, I really dig it, but it's an odd film to, like, go, hey, you want to come over and watch Zodiac?
Yeah, wow, okay. No, Beyond Sunset I would have given you, but Zodiac? Okay.
Yeah, I love that movie. But see, I can sit there and go, oh, yeah, let's watch Francis Ha or something. Like, I love Francis Ha.
Francis Ha's a fun film. I'd probably put on Lady Bird now over Francis Ha.
Haven't seen Lady Bird yet.
Oh, but. You need to see Lady Bird.
Okay.
Excellent film.
Even going back to Rilo, Francis Ha was a big influence on Rilo, on what Rilo is.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that. I'll give you that 100%.
Not so much the black and white, but just what Francis Ha is a big influence on Rilo, yeah.
I can see that. Absolutely see that. There are no problems with that.
That's one of those, Francis Hall is one of those movies where I sit there, when I saw it in the theater, I was like, damn, what? I wish I directed and wrote that movie.
It's a good film.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the easy question. You're going to the movie theater, you go to the concession stand, what do you buy?
Just popcorn with some butter.
That's it? No drink? Do you smuggle in food with that popcorn?
Nah, just popcorn, butter, and a Coke, yeah. That's it.
Nothing exciting?
Nah, sometimes nachos if I don't get popcorn.
Oh, there we go. Okay, see, this is the stuff I like to ask you. See, if you come back, you get more questions. I have more fun questions, so.
Okay.
I want to thank you for your time. I hope your film was excellent.
Thank you.
And that's it. Have a great night.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, bye.